Your SteveJonesShow.com audio is coming up next. Audio and podcast of The Steve Jones Show, a service of Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street, Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, Routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf.
Sports talk where your voice counts. This is The Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Oh, good Wednesday, everybody. Great to have you with us. SJS here on this Wednesday afternoon. I'm in the beautiful Sunbury Motors Studio, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. We're just 2 weeks away, by the way, from the Truman H. Purdy Memorial Golf Tournament at the Susquehanna Valley Country Club. Looking forward to that 2 weeks from today. Very much so. And as we push forward with that, we want you to join us out there for that. It'll be a lot of fun. And I'm in the Sunbury Motors Studio, 4th Street in Sunbury. And speaking of the Susquehanna Valley Country Club, the Sunbury Motors Kia is right across the street, Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. 1-800-795-9565. That's our number to call on the Hilster's General Store hotline. Powered by Hilster's General Store, Routes 11 and 15, 7 miles south of Sealands Grove. And, of course, you can go to www.hilsterstore.com. We'll talk more about the Phillies today. The NFL draft is tomorrow. Extensive talk today about the Steelers and the Phillies. Ray Dittinger is going to join us today from Philadelphia. And Ray's going to give us his take on the NFL draft and an historical perspective on what it can mean. Ray joins us in the next half hour. But first, above the noise, here's Dan Patrick.
Ready for a quality pre-owned vehicle? Well, get them before they go to auction at Sunbury Motors. Go to sunburymotors.com and click on pre-auction blowout. With so many great deals in bloom, you'll be thinking spring. Like a 2012 Ford Fiesta 5-door hatchback SE. Call for our lowest price promise, 888-536-8017. A 2012 Hyundai Elantra 4-door GLS 5943. A 2012 Hyundai Veloster 16899. A 2008 Ford Ranger 2-door Super Cab 17995. 2010 Chevy Equinox 4-wheel drive LTZ 24998. And a 2011 Ford Explorer 4-door XLT just 26998. All come with a Carfax report and our lowest price promise. Pre-auction blowout. 24-7 at sunburymotors.com at the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and at our dealership, Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Sunbury Motors, a tradition of trust since 1915.
That's right, on the Steve Jones Show. Today we'll be talking a little bit more about the orange and blue because that was the game on Saturday night at Christy Mathewson Memorial Stadium. The Bucknell Bison spring practice. We'll have Joe Susan on in the next few moments talking a little bit more about the big game in the spring for the Bucknell Bison and how their spring practice went. One of the things he had said a lot last year was we just need a few more birthdays. And it didn't mean that he needed more people that have a birthday. It just mean they needed to get a little bit older, and a little bit more experienced. And he'll have at least one more birthday for his team than he did a year ago. We'll see how he feels that the Bucknell Bison have progressed. A couple of holes to fill, but it was for the most part a very young Bucknell team last year. And a lot of optimism this year, especially with the fact that the Bison and the Patriot League as a whole in football did get merit scholarships. This will be the first year for those merit scholarships. And so the talent level should definitely come up. There's no question about that. Although a lot of folks, you know, and I'm one of them, have to question a little bit what Fordham did with those scholarships. You remember Fordham in the Patriot League decided to have football scholarships well ahead of time. But they decided they were going to get the scholarships and give up the chance for a Patriot League championship and try and get that at-large berth into the NCAA FCS tournament. Didn't work out too well for Fordham the last couple of years, so they ended up with a coaching change. But now the entire league with merit scholarships now in the Patriot League, we'll see how that makes a difference, not only in balancing out the competition a little bit, but seeing if some of the teams like Bucknell that had struggled last year with those merit scholarships are going to make a difference. I said one of the things I noticed about the spring game, though, was there's a little bit more depth in certain positions when you have merit scholarships than when you don't have merit scholarships, which I kind of already knew.
Right, but that's going to be a difference here going forward about, you know, I mean, depth is going to be an issue. I mean, there's no doubt that Penn State can go out and they can put easily put out 36 guys that are as good as any 36 guys out there. It's a question of whether you can get 37 through 48, you know, to give you the quality depth you need.
Well, and Penn State's in the opposite situation, the way I look at it, than Bucknell. Bucknell just getting merit scholarships now has a chance to develop some more depth than they've had in the past, whereas, you know, Penn State's had a lot of depth in the past, and losing some of those scholarships is going to limit their depth.
Yeah. Well, I understand that, but, I mean, Penn State has sanctions, okay? They're competing against teams that have 85 scholarships.
Absolutely right. There's not an even playing field.
Yeah, I mean, that's the difference. You know, but then, you know, then I guess, you know, it's all the players' fault. That's why they've been penalized.
That's right.
All right, so, yeah. All right. Ray Dittinger is going to join us today as well. The CSNPhilly.com analyst and expert, Hall of Fame writer, to analyze the Eagles draft. We have you to analyze the Steelers draft.
That shouldn't take long.
No,
need
but
a doctor, nurse, and a whole medical staff.
Who, you?
That's what the Steelers draft is in need of.
Oh, come on. Let's,
hey, you said it yesterday. I did.
You're so difficult to deal with.
I listened to the podcast yesterday, and you're absolutely right. This could be one of the most important drafts that the Steelers have had in decades.
I think in 40 years.
I think in 40 years, I don't think they've had a more important draft since.
Yep.
I absolutely agree with that, 110%. It's a big draft for the Eagles simply because they're trying to find what their future is going to be after a very difficult year last year. And I mentioned this earlier. Isn't it strange? The Eagles, and you said mainly because of this is the getting to know your new coach mode, but the Eagles have made less media have gotten less media attention after struggling last year than the Steelers did by just barely missing the playoffs, and then they get the more media attention. But you said it's kind of because of the honeymoon for having a new coach.
Oh, look, I mean, they've got him. Everybody in Phil, look, we got Chip.
We stole him. Okay, sure you did. Man, all right, fine. You want to think that? Sure. But, Chip's also going to a situation which I think Philadelphia will be a good situation for him. But we had Charlie Campbell on yesterday from WalterFootball.com.
Now, he has Jarvis Jones going to the Steelers first.
There, as I heard that yesterday, and did you get my text? Lots of baggage there.
Play. Are you kidding me? I don't care about that. He can play. He's a football player. Okay? That's the kind of draft pick that excites me. The guy plays. Okay? I don't want to sit there and get a draft pick or sit back and go, okay, let's learn more about this guy. This guy I know about. He can play. I think he's the best outside linebacker in the draft. He's better than the Oregon kid.
But that's not normally a pick the Steelers would make as a guy that has some baggage. They like the making the safe picks.
Oh, right. You thought Rainey was a safe pick.
All right. I'll give you that one.
Well, you have to. It only happened a year ago.
But let's look historically.
Does it
all
bother you that I come back that quickly on you?
I hate that. By the way, in Philadelphia the last couple of days, the big story out of Philadelphia, you ready for this? They're making a bid for the Olympics. For the Summer Olympics.
They have no shot.
Oh, come on, Mr. The Olympics are never going to come back here. Why not? Why would they have no shot?
If Chicago didn't get it, they're not going to get it. They have no shot.
I don't.
They have no shot.
I don't agree with that. There's a shot there.
The Olympics, in my opinion, will go to Africa at some point before it comes here. You notice the South America for the first time.
But the problem is, where would they be able to go right now?
They put the World Cup in South Africa.
Yeah, but you don't have to build those kind of venues. I mean, they're going to have to, if they go to South Africa, for instance, there's a lot of venues that need to be built.
Okay, then tell me exactly what they would build in Philadelphia. They'd have to build a lot.
No, I don't know that they'd have to build a lot.
Really? Where's the velodrome?
Well, can't you convert Wachovia?
Convert what?
Can't you convert Wachovia into a velodrome?
You mean Wells Fargo?
Or Wells Fargo. Sorry. I keep forgetting they changed the name.
I believe that they would be playing basketball there.
Oh, and there's no possibility that for 2 weeks they could minimize the game and they could not play
there. No, every time they have... No, because men's and women's basketball would both be playing in there.
Well, you just really know how to just be the wet blanket, don't you?
What? Because I sit there and I think...
You can't listen. If you want the Olympics bad enough, you'll figure out a way to make it happen.
But you would have, but as part of the Olympics, men's and women's basketball is part of the Olympics. You'd be playing it in that venue.
Okay, you have that. You can still.
Okay, you can't put a velodrome in there.
I thought you were talking about the fact that they'd be playing our other sports
but you're talking about
the Olympic basketball.
If you play the Olympics, right. You'd be playing.
You're
Olympic
right.
Basketball
I didn't think
there,
about that.
You?
That was dumb. That was dumb on my part. I'll give you that one. That was dumb on my part. All right.
Wow. This is going really...
Because that would have to go the entire 2 weeks.
Of course it would have to go the entire 2 weeks. And then, you do have other places around there. You know, you do have the Lycoris Center. You do have the Palestra. I mean, places like that. You're not going to put basketball in there because Wells Fargo has 20,000 seats. You're in there because it'll sell out. Especially when the United States plays. I mean, so you're not going to move it out of Wells Fargo. I mean, I'm telling you, it's not as simple as you think it is. But you have to build a lot of facilities.
But they wouldn't have to build the facilities that most cities would have to that have never hosted anything. I mean, there's a lot of facilities that they wouldn't have to build.
Look, these are different sports that bring with them different venues.
I don't know that they can handle track and field in even to redo everything.
They would have to do a massive renovation of Franklin Field to do track and field. They would have to do a massive renovation
because they couldn't. You couldn't do it at the link. You really couldn't do it in at
Citizens
Bank Park.
Part. Okay,
I'll
here's the next part. Here's the next part. All right. You can have, for example, anything in the complex, you're in great shape. The complex is built for sports. You're in great shape. The problem that you have is, where do you park for these events? How important does mass transit become for these events? And where do you put them? Okay, we could talk about the track being in Franklin Field, but you'd have to pour tens of millions into renovating Franklin Field to make it right to host track and field. You'd have to make it an Olympic stadium. You can't put it in the link, and you can't put it in Citizens Bank. They don't have tracks there. Right? The track there would have to be where the Penn Relays are. Okay, that's fine, except you'd have to pour tens of millions into that stadium. Now what do you do with the rest of them? You got 26 sports you got to take care of in this thing. I suppose rowing, it'd be interesting to see them try to row down the Schuylkill.
Oh, come on. That would be awesome.
Yeah, I mean, really? hope they don't tip and get hit by sewage.
I didn't say there weren't issues here, but at least London was able to break even. You don't think Philly could actually do this and break even in 2024?
I didn't say break even, but I think it's a tough sell.
I think it's a tough sell. I think it's a tough sell bringing him back to America. Atlanta didn't help. Salt Lake did, but Atlanta didn't.
Well, thank you, Mr. Happy.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Welcome. Great to have you with us. Only Kevin, the day before the draft, could bring up Philadelphia and the Olympics, which nobody in Philadelphia is even talking about.
That's not true. They just don't want to get too excited about it. That's all.
No, you brought it up and they said we don't want to talk about it.
That is not what was said. They just don't want to get too excited about it. They don't want
excited about what?
It's a little early in the process to be thinking about, you know, venues and different things like that. That's what they don't want to talk about right now, is where everything would go. It's very early in the process.
And Chicago finished where?
Chicago actually beat out Philadelphia as the United States Olympic Committee, the USOC, narrowed things down.
Right, and finished fourth out of four.
That is correct.
Yes. After the president went and made a personal appeal.
I've never spent a summer in Chicago. What's it like?
It's nice. You'd like it. And we'd love to send you there. All right. Let's start.
For the 2024 Olympics, whether it's there or not.
In fact, we'd like to send you there now and kind of get an 11-year advance so that when we all get there to do the show, we're prepared.
Great.
We bring in Joe Susan, the head football coach at Bucknell. Joe, welcome. And would you like to send Kevin to Chicago for an 11-year prep on the Olympics?
Sure, and I know he's a baseball fan, so maybe, I'm not sure. I know you can get seats there at any time.
Absolutely, anytime. Hey, let's talk about your team's spring practice. When you looked at what you did in the spring, what were your goals going in, and as time went, did you feel like you were starting to accomplish those goals?
Well, Steve, the first thing is that the nature of this profession, we had three new coaches that we brought on board, and bringing them up to speed in terms of how we do things, but also watching our kids respond to them. And I think that worked out very well. And the next thing was that we needed a couple of birthdays in the offensive line, and we got those. One of the things that we went in the spring with is just try to create some competition there. And then who were, as we evolved through the spring, who were our answers regardless of what position they played coming in. And we moved some kids around, and I think we got closer to that. I think we solidified four of the five positions. And there's competition still at one, the left guard position. And the good thing to say is that there is competition. Both our quarterbacks really played well. And, I was excited. Now, one of the things, too, that is always a challenge in the spring is that you want to condone a physical team, but you don't want to get people hurt. And our kids have done such a good job of staying on their feet when we're in thud practices. Obviously, when we go live, we want to tackle through the ground, block through the ground. But we get so much more out of thud if we can keep people on their feet, and our kids have really bought into that and understand the importance of that.
And that's a big part of it too. I mean, Joe was very big on thud here. Bill's the same way, big on thud. You actually get a lot of contact in thud. It's just you stay on your feet.
It's really above the waist live, and you know, we need to cut. We need to defend the cut. But we need to define those situations that are live situations. And the other thing, you got to tackle. Otherwise, you're going to be missing tackles all over the place when it counts. And actually, when we get into the season, really Tuesdays are only live day. So the fundamentals. One of the biggest things for spring is fundamentals. You have a lot more time in individual periods to spend time on fundamentals. And
right.
We try to hammer that, and the kids have really responded. Another positive thing is that, and I mentioned this to the team, and we've gotten better with it as I've been here, but when I first got here, when they'd come off after running plays, they'd be talking about a lot of things. Now they're talking about football, and that's so important that they have bought into being students of the game.
And that's when I had Bill O'Brien on the show Friday. I asked him about that part. I said, look, I have the advantage of standing on a sideline, for example, and when I stand on the sideline, I hear the players, and they're talking about, you know, what did you see here? What did you see there?
Right.
They're not sitting there talking about what they're doing later, and it sounds like your kids are doing the same thing. You mentioned the fundamentals part of it. How much time do you spend teaching now as opposed to your first couple of years there? And which then, of course, brings up the next part of being far more advanced where you and the kids are on the same page.
Yeah, we when we first got here, we had to teach pace. We had to teach intensity. There was actually a period where we did a goal line scrimmage where when the ball went in the end zone, everybody just kind of walked off. We had to teach celebration. And
right.
Those are things that you can't take for granted. And those are the things that, and I credit this senior class, that the kids bring along, and they are the example for the younger people of this is how it's done, and this is the only way that it is done. And those are the things that we've really taken steps with as a program. And I think once you can get leaders from your team to buy in and influence the younger guys, it makes you better coaches because it gives you a chance to coach instead of, you know, finish the drill, play through the whistle, all those things. You know, obviously we continue to emphasize that, but a lot of it, it's already part of their nature. And if it becomes second nature, then they're better students, we're better teachers because it gives us a chance to teach the game.
Are you sensing within them, your upperclassmen I'm talking about, that they're now starting to get a feeling of ownership in the program where it has become personal to them?
Very much so. And you know, we did something that I haven't done before as a head coach and really haven't done it much as an assistant, is we voted for captains prior to the end of spring. We named them at the spring game, and the three young men that the kids elected, I had a few votes in that one. it's a silent ballot, too. So our Travis Wren will wind up going into his senior year, already having been all-league player for 3 years. Derek Palmer, our corner, and Jeff Goyette, a linebacker, who's also, I believe, the best long snapper at this level of football. If not at any level, it's just he's 6 foot. And but he's a kid that really, it's amazing that people don't even try to block punts anymore. And that's a good thing. Those kids have really taken charge. And I told the team at the meeting where we announced the captains that this does not relinquish anybody from the responsibility of being leaders.
Right.
These are just the guys that you voted for as captains. The more leaders you have, the better team you'll be, because somewhere along the way, adversity is going to hit you. You'll be behind in a game. Somebody gets hurt. Somebody else has to go in. And that's when the leadership steps forward. And if it's an innate part of who they are and what they are, then it makes it a lot easier to transition through adversity or through substitution. I always talk to them, too, about, you know, the things that distract you. It's a Navy SEAL thing: hot, wet, cold, dark, dry, thirst, noise, pain. Let that impact normal people. All right, those are things that if you don't let it bother you, it won't bother you. And they kind of looked at me funny when I first mentioned those things, but now they understand.
Well, in fact, you talk about leadership. That's about to manifest itself and about to be tested. The reason being is that you hit the off season. That's when your leadership needs to take over for you. What kind of expectations do you have from that leadership in your off season so that when you go to camp, you're ahead of actually where you ended the spring?
We had a team meeting on Sunday night, the day after the game, and we have a countdown clock in our locker, and at that time it was 1:39. I believe it's like 1:36 right now, and I said that every minute counts, and we have to start now, all right? It's not like you take a week off. It's not like you let it slide a little bit because you're going into finals, and what's unique is that we go through exit interviews with the entire staff before we go on the road, and there are certain guys I'm bringing in to interview. I'm meeting with the captains today, and the captains have really taken charge of this. Our summer is critical because of the way it's designed at this level. It can't be mandatory, but there's three ways our kids can get on campus during the summer. They either work, they take courses, or they do internships. And our strength coach has access to them. They have access to him. And it looks to me like a real good number, if not all of them. And even some of the incoming freshmen will be here. I can't have any impact on that, but that is the big thing because, our goal is, if you win the league championship, you keep playing, and it's a nice thing, and that is our goal. And I told them, too, that some people will go into this saying, well, we're going to win the championship, and then you're looking down the line. You win the championship one day at a time, and then when you get to game week, it becomes like the you ever play pool? I know Kevin has.
You're right.
You had one shot at a time, setting up the next shot, and that's how it is. You can't look too far ahead, but you got to set yourself up. And I'm sure every coach in this league and the league that we play against is saying the same thing. But we have the advantage of having 15 returning starters, and what's unique about the offensive line is we'll go into the fall with no seniors in that group, and
right.
There's still a lot of game experience there, and we're bringing in five St. Bernard puppies that we'll let them eat.
Joe, it's always a pleasure. Appreciate the time you gave us. Glad for a productive spring. We're really looking forward to the fall.
Thanks. Steve, I had the privilege of meeting Kevin's son, and like most sons that are 14, they know everything, and I just reinforced to him that you'll be surprised how much your father learns four or 5 years from now.
He didn't believe it yet. That's the thing. Because, again, you're right. He thinks he knows a lot.
Oh, yeah. Don't they all?
Oh, and you know what the amazing part? I remember the transition in my life when I started saying things to my children that my father told me.
Exactly. We were there,
goodness.
You can't pay it back. You got to pay it forward.
Exactly right.
Yep.
Joe, thanks
you,
so much,
thank
my friend.
Kevin.
Great to hear from you.
Thanks, coach.
Take care. Bye.
It's funny, when I talk to your son, he barely looks up from a screen.
He didn't have the screen with him, otherwise I'm sure he would have, but there was a lot of football going on, so he was intrigued.
Great sport. Ray Dittinger on the Eagles and their draft coming up next half hour. Hall of Fame football writer. We'll have him on. As we come back with more here on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Welcome. Great to have you back. Right. College football playoff. You, of course.
Brilliant name.
Came up with a better name.
Anything would have been a better name.
All right. What's the single most powerful entity in college football today?
What?
What is the single most powerful entity or powerful force in college football today?
The NCAA?
ESPN, no. ESPN.
I'm like, oh, you're talking about, all right, you mean from a money and television standpoint.
No,
right.
The NCAA has nothing to do with this. You have to remember, well, the conferences did this. The NCAA is out of this process.
I didn't think about that.
They are out. ESPN is.
Okay.
ESPN is. Okay? Right? You agree with that?
I got a funny feeling I know where you're going, too.
In 2003, which company registered collegefootballplayoff.com?
Right. Yes. I when you started to say that, it dawned on me why they would go with that.
Who registered it? ESPN.
ESPN. Did.
Thank you. That discussion is now quickly over. I know I throw a wet blanket on things quickly here for you.
And do you ever.
What? I know you want the Olympics in Philadelphia. It's just not logistically possible.
But you have to admit, I understand it, but it is a dumb name. College Football Championship.
It'll end up being called something like the Football Four, I'm sure, or something like that. I really don't care what it's named. I'm just glad that they've migrated in that direction. I think it'll be a big plus.
It just doesn't. There's nothing you could promote there. College Football Playoff. It's like, wow, that's exciting.
Well, on New Year's Day, it'll be exciting, and when the two playoff games are played.
But it's not like Super Bowl. I mean, now that sounds exciting. College Football Playoff.
Okay, what was the original name of the Super Bowl?
The AFL-NFL Championship Game.
World Championship Game.
Oh, okay. Wasn't it the AFL-NFL Championship Game, though, too?
It was the NFL-AFL World Championship Game.
Oh, okay. I forgot the world part. All right. Yeah, that was weak. That was weak.
That's what it was called. It wasn't officially called the Super Bowl until Super Bowl V. Now, they referred to it as the Super Bowl. Okay, starting with Super Bowl II on. All right? But it was still called the... In fact, I believe even on the center of the field at New Orleans in Super Bowl IV, it was referred to as the NFL-AFL World Championship game.
I like Dennis Dodd's article, though, on the CBSSports.com. What, games to be played annually to decide champion was taken?
They said they were going to keep it simple. Look, it would have been a perfect time to put out bowl championship series, right? But they can't do that because it brings with it such a negative connotation right now. They just can't do it. And if they'd saved it for this moment, if they'd rolled out bowl championship series now, people would be like, "Hey, okay, that's great. That makes sense."
Sure.
Right, but it's you know they can't use it because it's negative.
I don't know. CFP doesn't roll as much as BCS does. Look,
it doesn't matter. Does it matter? Does it matter?
Not to you. No, it doesn't matter to you. It matters to me.
Okay. In the NFL, what do they refer to the postseason as?
The NFL playoffs.
No, these were called the playoffs. Okay? That's all it is. Playoffs. Okay? What's the NBA postseason called?
The NBA playoffs, which is dumb. Okay,
why? What do you want it to be called? Look, here's the part that they're not telling the truth about. Okay, at some point, it's going to be the college football playoff presented by Vizio or AT&T.
Oh, I know that. Everybody knows that.
Or Chick-fil-A, and there's going to be a big picture of a Holstein in the center of the field.
But what are you going to call the championship game? Are you going to and now the college football playoff championship game? By the time you get it out, the first quarter will be over.
We call the national championship.
I mean, at least they call in the NHL. It's the Stanley Cup Finals.
The Stanley Cup playoffs,
or the Stanley Cup playoff. Yeah,
I mean they're the one entity that has something like wow that in the Final Four.
You know, the baseball has the divisional championship and the league championship series before the World Series. But I mean, I understand college football playoff for the games leading up to it. But what about the final game? You're going to call that the college football playoff championship?
Does it matter? Or does it matter they're going to have it?
Boy, you take the fun out of sports talk. You know that? I'm saying
you just sucked the fun out of a sports talk argument.
I'm just saying, look, there are too many trivial things in sports talk right now. Oh, the naming of, who cares?
That's it. I'm going back on vacation. I'm done. I'm out of here.
To me, the most important part is that they're having it, where they're having it, what the format is, how much time in between each one. You know, the driving force, look, what threw them in this direction finally was when LSU played Alabama. When LSU played Alabama, everybody else said, that's it, we got to do something. Because everybody looked around and said, what, we have a rematch of an SEC regular season game? That's what threw them over the edge, where they finally played that. See, now we're getting into sports talk now, okay? Now we're getting into sports talk, meat and potatoes. What caused it to happen? A rematch between LSU and Alabama, two SEC teams, from a 9-6 game on November 3rd of that year in Tuscaloosa. Now they're playing a rematch, and the team that wins it didn't even win a divisional championship that year. That's what threw them to this point. It's one of the luckiest breaks that we got in college football, because now we're going to have a playoff. I don't care what it's called. I don't care if it's called the Holstein Bowl.
Well, at least they're letting the fans choose the logo.
You're like, I don't care what the logo is. I just care that the game's being played.